Hello and welcome back to Talking Talmud. I'm Ann Gordon here with my friend and chavruta, your Dana Azband. Our daf of the day, Masechet Eruvin, daf Nun Vav, page 56. So this daf is going to be challenging, but before it is quite nice. So I'm going to start with that and then we'll get to the challenge. We're talking, as you'll recall, we were talking about, vegetables being good for you, not being good for you. So in this category, there's a whole discussion over. It kind of brings it back to Erevin or certainly locales. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, kol ir sheyesh ba ma'alot u'maradot. Any city that has within it many ups and downs, meaning ascents and descents. It's a hilly kind of city with, I guess, hills and valleys, right? Adam u'behemasha ba mitim b'chatzi yemehen. So Rav says they die at half their days, meaning half their life expectancy, which is really a kind of extreme kind of statement, because I think we all know people who live in hilly cities who could live to a ripe old age, thank God. Metim. So the Gemara says, did he really mean to say that they died early? Ela ema maskinim yemehen. So rather you should say that they grow old at half their days. Meaning that it takes a toll, that constantly climbing up and down is going to take a toll on your life, and perhaps age you faster, but not kill you faster. Amrav Huna Barid Rav Yoshua, Hani Molaito Debe Bire Debe Narshas Kinan. So Rav Huna says these ascents and these descents that they took place between Beit Biri and Beit Naresh, which is where he lived, and he says that he grew old prematurely. And my commentary on this is as follows. To the one extent, certainly I'm sure this is true that, people who are taxing their bodies are not always doing it a good service. But I would say, and my example here is my grandmother. She should live and be well. She is going on 101. And for most of my life of knowing her, she lived in one of those, row houses in Brooklyn where it's a tall, skinny house. And she was constantly going up and down stairs. Up and down skinny stairs, even. And I am convinced that it is part of why she is in such vim and vigor now at Kanayin HaHara, the age of going on 101. She should live and be well. We should all live and be as well as she is at this age. And perhaps it entails going up and down the stairs, in as much as this. So, again, I'm not countering the Gemara here. I'm just saying that it's not quite as simple as it's expressed here. Talking about not quite as simple, the rest of the daf is not quite as simple. I said to your
For
Dana,
the non-visual
I said
person
to
I
your
am, my head is
oh, this
spinning.
goes far beyond that. This goes far beyond that, I'm convinced. So this daf is truly about the interaction between Earth and the cosmos and the way we can measure things on Earth via the cosmos, meaning the location of constellations and so on. And I am certain that there are people for whom this stuff reads like, the back of their hand. But I am not of those people. Yardina, I think it's fair to say that you do not feel that you are of those people either. So I'm gonna try to make some heads or tails of this, at least just explain what's going on in the daf without really being sure of it, right? Basically, the question is as follows. We're still talking about Erevin. We're still talking about trying to establish the Erev Tchumen and how big is the city going to be to make it, to square those corners that we had talked about, Yerdane. I think you discussed it most extensively most recently in terms of when your city is a funny shape or you've got turrets, jutting out and you need to kind of square off the corners around a circle. And at the end of the day, you end up with a fine shape from which to draw your Erev Truman, which is not crazy discussion. The question though is, what if you're not sure exactly how to measure from your circle to establish where those corners are going to be? And so one way to do that is to deal with, I don't fully understand how this works, but to understand where the constellations are so that you can establish north and you can establish south. And apparently Ursa Major is in the north and the Scorpio is in the south. This is literally on the daf. Right? It's called, here I'll read it for you in the Hebrew as well. Notzein tzafona letzafon, olam udroma ledarom, that's the north to the north and the south to the south. Vesimanaich, agala betzafon, v'akrav bedarom. Agala meaning cart, I guess. And akrav is a scorpion. And I'm not gonna read the rest inside because again, it's as challenging for me in English as it is in Hebrew in this particular case. So the question then is, how do you square off the city's alignment to try to understand how it lines up with the constellations to be able to figure out exactly how far your city boundaries are going to be for the sake of establishing your tomb? And then this is so, and it tracks it by sunrise, sunset, and moonrise and moonset, but not just moonrise and moonset. It's also where the constellation, how the constellations move across the sky. And then you can establish that, you know, from this corner, it's going to, again, I apologize, but I truly don't fully follow how this map appears then on the ground, you know, to establish where your city is going to be. But clearly the DAF is focusing on, when is the solstice? When is the equinox? How many days does it take for the, I guess, for the sun to hit from this point to that point, right? And divides it up literally into, even to the quarter of the day. You know, the fact that I don't know what the DAF is talking about exactly does not mean that the DAF does not know. I would say it really does. It's really very precise for one who understands this. Now, it could be that the modern astronomer, or even astrologer, I think, would be able to come and say, astrology, or meaning understanding where the constellations are, which is really more a matter of astronomy. I don't mean using the stars as a predictor, right? But the modern person who understands the science of this might come and say that Chazal got it all wrong and it's not precise at all. And I would believe them in that, but it reads very precise, meaning Chazal were not waffling and they were not unsure of their stepping here. It's just not clear to me, right? So again, at the end of the day, we're talking about establishing this, how do you make the square around the round of the city to the, again, to then get to your 2000 amot, so you'll be able to go, you know, outside of the city 2000 amot. And then the question is, from where do you draw that 2000 amot? Is it from the edge of the square? Is it from the reed? Is it from the circumference of the circle that was within the square? And of course, that's a little bit too neat, because the cities are very rarely precisely a circle. Or do you start from the very center point of the city? And the answer to that question is no, you really start from the edge. The question is just which edge. And I think with that, I invite anybody and everybody to delve into this stuff and get back to us and make it simple and clear. And beyond that, I can say, like, I've read all these words, right? And I could read them to you and translate them and make them sound like sentences, and I still would not understand what you're saying.
So, well, first I'll talk about the piece that you read. Look, whether or not it's actually true, it's just fascinating to see how they actually calculated these things. And it was based on sort of their understanding of science and the world. So that's just interesting to see. I'm not so bothered by whether or not it was true. Like, I think knowledge, human knowledge, is allowed to evolve. And so it may have evolved. That's okay. I'm comfortable with that. This stuff was very hard for me. It's hard for me also because, like, I'll be honest, you know, we're in the midst of like many chagim, things getting, you know, things are just crazy beginning the school year. So, you know, it's harder to find a little time to delve into these types of daf. But it's clearly just a lot of math to sort of try to figure out, you know, how did they sort of, I guess not calculate the cities, but sort of figure out, you know, how to create the tichums of these cities. And one of the things I was sort of taken by is they really add a ton of extra square footage. Well, I guess a moat footage. Yes. I and so like, then I'm sort of that. Like, how far were people walking that you needed like another 2000 on top of it? Cause it's almost like you're gaining a ton of it. So I thought that was very interesting. So I'm just going to read one piece that was interesting here. So in this discussion they're having, which is basically on the topic of, you know, how do you square a city, right? That's based, and that this is the piece that sort of made my head spin. But there's an interesting little nugget here. Tanya, right? We learned in a brisa. I'm a Rabbi Elazar but Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Elazar said in the name of Rabbi, son of Rabbi Yossi, to whom are we levim al pai mama? The Levite cities, right? These I guess they were also the Arei Miklat, but right, these cities of the levim, right? Their tichum, right? They always had a boundary that went 2,000 amot in every direction. Seimehan elefam amigrash, right? The first one, or 1,000 of it, was just open space. So it was like a space that was totally not inhabited. Nimsa migrash revia vashar tzadot karmi. So the open space is a quarter of the entire extended area, and the rest of it would be fields and vineyards. So now the Gemara asks the obvious question. Minaha ni mile, right? Where, first of all, they want to ask, where do you even get this, that, you know, each Levite city had this tichum of 2,000, which was made up of migrash, right? Just open space, and then also a space of fields and vineyards. Amar Rava, Rava answers to Amar Kra, quotes a pasuk from Bamidbar, Perek Lamed Hey, Pasuk Dalet, chapter 35, verse 4, which is discussing these cities. Mikir ha'ir v'chutza elef amasaviv, right? Where it says that you would have like open spaces of the cities that you'll give to the Levium, and from the wall of the city and outward would be 1,000 amot around it. Amra Torah, so the Torah is telling us, Sabib atair be'elef nimsa migrash revia. So the Torah is saying you surround the city with 1,000 amot, right? Like it's supposed to have this sort of open space of 1,000 amot. And this is a quarter of the whole area of the city. Okay, but now, again, they're going to ask the even more obvious question. Rivia, how could it be a quarter? Plug a have it. If it's 2,000 amot, 1,000 is half. Amar Rava, so Rava says, Bar Ada Mashoa Asibra Le, Mashchat La Bemata Dehave Tre Alape Ad Tre Alape. So Rava says, Bar Ada, who was the surveyor, right? So it's almost like it's interesting. They had to go to an expert to get it explained. Like, how do you calculate the amot? Says that you find in this city that it's 2,000 amot by 2,000 amot, okay? And so therefore, it's a chum kama have, right? So in other words, then how many is the boundary itself is shistar. It's actually 16. Kiranot kama havim, right? So then how many amot would be in the corners? Again, I don't have a good visual of how this works. Shistar. So the cubits in the corner are going to be a total of 16. Dal tamanye de tuchumim ba'arba'a de karnot kamahave tresar. So what do you do? So you have the extended boundary is going to be the 16 square cubits, right? Then you're going to have, you know, the corners are also 16. You take away 8 from the area of the extended boundary, right? From this open space that's around the city, right? Because in other words, you have the first 1,000 amot that's beyond, you know, beyond where any of the inhabited parts part that has to be left as an open space. So that's basically 1,000 by 2,000 on 4 sides. So that's where you get 8. And then, dal tamane tuchume barba'a de karne kamehave tresar. And then you subtract another 4 from the corners, right? Because we said in the corners in total, therefore come out to 16. So what are you left with? You're left with 12 square, like this 12 million square cubits. Nimsa migaresh revia. So now the Gemara says, okay, well, if that's the case, then the open space is it should be a quarter. This actually works out to it being a third because the entire area, it becomes out to 32. And this open space, now you're saying, is 12. So now they sort of give ate arba de matas. So the Gemara says, bring 4 million of the city itself, shideale, and then add it to the limit. So then you get, so in other words, you're sort of taking away 4. So it's really just 8. Ate Flite have, and then it really you get to a third because then it's so in other words, sorry, you're adding the city itself. So really, the total boundary is 36, right? The whole area, sorry, is 36. This area that we're talking about is 12, and therefore that gets to a fourth. Misavra de ribua kamar. So do you think this halacha, the Gemara wants to say, also the other way they want to answer it? Do you think it's about a perfectly square city? So this is so interesting. They spent all this time going through a calculation that I personally could not really explain too well. As I said, I could translate the words, but visually is very difficult, I think, to do from a verbal point of view, right? And then the Gemara is saying, no, 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 none of this makes sense because you're making it into a square city. And what? Ve'igula ka'amar. And really, we're talking about a round city, right? Which sort of makes sense. Like, there really aren't cities that are built in perfect squares. If we think about what a city looks like, they tend to actually look like, circles. So then the Gemara is going to go on, and now they're going to try to explain this, right? Kama ruba yeter al hagul. So how much larger of an area is the square than that of the circle? Rivia, that's the quarter. Dal rivia minihu. So if you take away a quarter, right, of this 12 million, which is the open space, pashuluhu tisha, and then you subtract. You're taking away a quarter of the 12, because right from the corners, basically from the square. So then you're left with 9, v'tisha mitaltin v'shita reviyahi. And so 9 is exactly a quarter of the 36. So again, this could make your head spin, but it's interesting to see, you know, how they're getting. So to me, what's more important is, I don't know that I could map out exactly the math, but it's interesting to see what the differences are. If you do this as a square calculation versus a round, a circle calculation, a round city. And the idea also that they're learning some of these things from the, you know, cities of the Livium themselves.
So the one thing I would say, you know, that I kind of take away from all of this, in addition to the geometry and figuring out exactly where the city, you know, where the city limits are going to be and so on, and how your tomb is going to be established. But the thing that really jumped out at me that's perhaps different here is that it seems to me, right, and the Gemara says it explicitly, that there's this extra zone added for the cities of the Livium, the cities of refuge, whatever, that has, like, from the city, and then you've got your add-on, and then you've got another, like, I don't know, band around the city that's kind of this zone of no man's land, and then you get to the edge of your tchum. And I find that to be interesting, meaning I don't think that this daf tells us why that is, and perhaps we'll find that out, you know, as we go. But I think that it's interesting that these particular cities, meaning the Ir Miklat, the cities of the Levium specifically, are different in this, how much buffering zone is there on the outskirts of the city as compared to a regular city, which has all that added padding, let's say, that gets you to the, to build out your Tchum Shabbos, but you don't have this, you know, I don't know, empty zone from the outskirts of the city in between there and the outskirts of your Tchum.
Yeah, so the only thing I could think of is, you know, just for some of our learners who may not know this, right, like these, you know, Levium cities were like refuge cities, right? So if you, God forbid, accidentally killed a person, right, the family sort of had rights, the Goel Hadam, right, the redeemer of the blood to kill you. And so you had to sort of seek refuge in these places, and you could leave once the Kohen Gadol, you know, passed away. And I just wonder if, like, you almost needed that buffer area to get into it. You know, like, maybe it couldn't have been inhabited just up to the Tichum, because once you're in the Tichum, you're untouchable. So I don't know. It is interesting. They were obviously structured for a particular reason. It's not anything I ever thought of or had seen before.
Right. And I'm hoping that we'll get an answer to this as we continue through Shas. Let's hold this in the back of our minds, along with all the other things that we're holding in the back of our minds, you know, as something to pay attention to. I feel like, Yordana, I kind of want to apologize to everybody for today's podcast, in that for all that we could talk about these very important things in the daf, I feel like we have not made our usual, whatever, stab at clarity that we usually aim for. So, you know, in the spirit of the season of here we are in Sukkot and v'samachta v'chagecha, everybody should be happy and rejoice and recognize that we are learning Torah and some of it is challenging. And at, you know, at some point, hopefully we'll have a better understanding of you know, of the things that are beyond our fields and beyond our ken at this point.
Well, as we recently learned, maybe we just need to review it 4 times, or I might have to be like the student who needed to be taught it 400 times. Well, that's our DAF discussion for the day. Rank us, review us on all major podcasts. Thank you to Rabbi Michelle Farber for hosting us on the Hadron website. Let us know what you thought about this DAF on our Talking Talmud Facebook page, and maybe you could explain it better next time if you, you know, be a guest with us on the podcast. And until tomorrow, go and learn.